Everybody knows what this is, right? This is a smartphone, right? And they call it that because I think you have to be somewhat smart to know how to use them. And right now, I am losing the battle with my phone. I think I know about how to do two-thirds of the things that are on it. But it's a smartphone. And seemingly in society today, we just can't seem to live without them. And I have to admit, I find myself in that group as well. But I tell you what, if credit cards are the little plastic demons of the world, then I don't want to know what these things are. These are some kind of addictive. But I find myself attached to my phone, but it's not for the same reason that many might be. It's not because I feel the necessity to post pictures of what I'm eating for dinner for the whole world to see. It's not because I have to stay in constant communication, although with young boys in the house getting older, it is a handy tool to have. For me, there's one app on here that is used far more than any other app, and that's the calendar. For me, I put dozens of reminders on my calendar every week. Pick up a quart of milk, a loaf of bread. Time to pay the taxes this Thursday. Or maybe it's not always the calendar. Maybe I'll use the picture app. I'll find that's handy if I'm working on something and I got to remember the part number. I'll just take a picture of it and that way when I go to the store later, I know what model I have. But more often than not, it's the calendar app. Something I started to do actually not too long ago, a few months back, is I put a reminder in there every day at lunchtime to do just a little bit of Bible study. You might think, well, Dan, you really need to remind yourself to do Bible study? Well, maybe I shouldn't need it, but I'll tell you this. Having that on there has helped me to keep my nose a little bit more in the Bible. And one of the things I've been reading through was the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And that's what we're going to study today, and that's what we're going to concentrate on. Proverbs is essentially a book of reminders. Now, we aren't the first generation that's needed reminders, certainly. Israel needed them cut into stone for them. They knew the commandments before Sinai. We're told that in Genesis 26 and other places as well. But they needed a reminder. Of course, the holy days themselves and the Sabbath are kind of reminders in their own way. They're reminders of the transition that we are supposed to be making in our lives, and the transition that's going to come for the world at large. So what purpose is it that reminders do fulfill? Well, certainly, they're a teaching tool. We teach our children every Sabbath when we come to services that this is a day that God has set aside for us to rest and to worship Him. They're encouraging. Reminders are encouraging. You might think of it as maybe like your annual review at work or if you're in school when you graduate from one year to the next. It's kind of a little reminder of what you've done over the year's time. It's an encouraging boost every year when we finish the annual holy days of, hey, we have made it through one more year. And every Sabbath when we see each other, well, we've made it through one more week. It's a reminder that our path is maybe just a little bit different than what the rest of the world is on. We'll actually circle back to the topic of encouragement and reminders a little bit later on. Of course, the most obvious reason for reminders is to keep us from forgetting. You might say, well, duh, that's kind of what they're all about. Beyond just making sure that we pay our bills or that we remember to pick the kids up from band practice at a certain day or something like that, they're there to make us mindful of things. Now, I'm not an English major, but my simple public school education tells me that the word remind is a compound word. To mind something is to be mindful of it. If I ask my son to go cut the grass, I might say, hey, you know, mind the roots out there so when you go over it with the mower, you don't scalp them. And then the next week, after he does it, I'll remind him, say, hey, remember, don't hit the roots. So reminders is telling us to be mindful about things. Today, I would like to look at some reminders in the Bible. As I said, we'll concentrate really in the book of Proverbs. We'll look at the book of Proverbs as God's handy little book of reminders. Proverbs as God's handy little book of reminders. These aren't just wise sayings to live our life by, but the reminders of what we can do when we face certain situations. In a world of technology speak and overanalysis, political correctness, as Mr. Wasselkopf mentioned, in a world where you can show pictures of any vain thing you want in public, but you can't mention the word of God in a public assembly. These are reminders of how we should be living our lives and what we can do in various situations. Now, this isn't an exhaustive study, and the book of Proverbs can certainly be studied in many different ways. But for today, I would like to look at the book of Proverbs and break it down into reminders in three different sections, three different places that we can use this in our life. The first I've entitled Everyday Living or General Relationship Advice. How we might react to a chance encounter, maybe at the grocery store after our phone has reminded us we need to pick up that loaf of bread. Or maybe how we might go about preparing for an assignment at school or at work. And of course, as we go through, you'll see that many of these reminders can be used in lots of different areas of our lives. We'll be covering quite a few scriptures today. The good news is all the Proverbs are really short, so you won't have to do too much page flipping. It's all in one spot. And by and large, we'll be reading from the New Century Version today. So with that, let us start. Let's look at Proverbs 9, verse 9. Proverbs 9 and verse 9. It says, teach the wise, and they will become even wiser. Teach good people, and they will learn even more. Now, wise people, really truly smart folks, not just academically speaking, but in business or whatever, they thrive to get more knowledge about whatever it is they do. If it's someone who is a lawyer, they're always studying the latest laws, what the latest court decisions are. You know, if it's someone who's an artist, maybe they're studying the new techniques, new paints, or whatever material they might work in. And of course, we need to take this as a reminder that we should be constantly keeping our noses in the Bible to put in that good wisdom that God knows, or that we know that God has outlined for us here. The reminder then is this: get the fuel we need to keep our tanks full. Mr. Peter Eddington gave a message the other week along that lines, that we need to keep our tanks full, to keep those lamps lit, keep the oil in our lamps so that we can keep them lit. Of course, being wise doesn't mean that we have every single answer immediately. But as we say in the engineering world, we may not know all the answers, but we know where and how to find them. It takes us to Proverbs 14, and we'll read verse 8. It says, a wise person will understand what to do, but a foolish person is dishonest. A wise person can figure out what needs to be done. But there's a second part of this verse I'd really like to focus in and hone in on. Do you ever hear someone say, well, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, well, then baffle them with baloney or some such thing? That's kind of what this verse is talking about. And saying a fool will sit there and kind of make up an answer if they don't know the answer. Well, guess what? People will eventually figure you out. If you've been in any sort of a work environment, you've worked with these type of people who clearly are kind of faking it until they make it, as they say. They kind of make up the answers as they go along, but eventually they become exposed. Now, in the work world, that might cost you a sale. It might cost you a job. But as Christians, if we're faking our way through things, we're at risk of losing much, much more than that. The reminder is this. We might not know scripture and verse off the top of our head, although that's something we should strive to do. But we should certainly know what the Bible teaches. And if someone asks us a question and we can't answer that question immediately, we shouldn't just make up something that sounds right. No. We might say, well, I'll have to get back to you on that. But we should strive to find that answer. In terms of sounding right, there's another little reminder that Proverbs tells us about. Have you ever been in a situation where someone came and told you a story, some bit of news, and maybe there was just a bit of controversy, and what they tell you certainly sounds right, sounds very believable. And you believed them at first, but you always wondered, well, is there more to that story? Proverbs 18 talks about this specifically. Proverbs 18 and verse 17 says this. It says, the person who tells one side of a story seems right until someone else comes and asks questions. Anyone who has more than one child has had to learn this lesson, haven't you? You hear the glass breaking from the other room, and you hear the feet coming in. Dad, 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 dad. Whoever can tell their story first is telling the truth, right? Well, that's not always the case, right? Sometimes there's a misunderstanding amongst siblings. We must be cautious when we are discerning the truth. The reminder here is very simple. There are at least two sides to every story. Brings us to our next reminder. Throughout the book of Proverbs, God had a lot to say through Solomon about the poor. Now, I know over the years I've had a tendency, if I see someone who's on the street, someone who's unemployed, maybe, you know, not doing well in life, financially speaking, you might think, oh, you know, you brought this on yourself through whatever addiction or gambling or whatever it might be. But there's two sides to stories. The truth is, we really don't know. I remember I knew a family years ago in church that they didn't have much at all. And if you didn't know the whole backstory, you might think that, wow, these people, you know, they just didn't work hard. They gave it all away to just not caring and getting caught up in the cares of the world. That wasn't true. And this particular family, it actually was quite opposite of that. They unfortunately got very caught up in the notion that Christ would return in 1972. So they took pretty much everything they had. They sold it off. They packed up a suitcase in their closet, and they were ready to go. Well, when 1972 came and went, they didn't have much, because in their desperation to be ready, they had sold everything for pennies on the dollar. Now, that wasn't necessarily a wise choice, but their hearts were in the right place. So there are two sides to every story, and particularly when it comes to issues with the poor. Let's turn to Proverbs 21 and read verse 13. Proverbs 21, verse 13. It says, "Whoever ignores the poor when they cry for help will also cry for help and not be answered." So we are told that we should have compassion on the poor, and we're warned what happens if we don't. We should try to help the poor when we're in a position to do so. Most of us have been blessed far above what we ever imagined, and certainly far above what we deserve. So when we have an opportunity to help those who are less fortunate than ourselves, we should. You might ask yourself, well, what does God think about when we do this? He takes this very personally. Let's flip back to chapter 19. Matter of fact, it's just across the page in my Bible. Chapter 19 and verse 17. It says, "Being kind to the poor is like lending to the Lord." Now, this is the creator of our universe. There is nothing that we can give him that he doesn't already have. But this verse tells us that when we're kind to the poor, it's very much like giving directly to God. It goes on to say, he will reward you for what you've done. Flip over to Proverbs 29, verse 7. Proverbs 29, verse 7, one more verse here in regards to the poor. 29 verse 7, it says, "Good people care about justice for the poor, but the wicked are not concerned." It's been said that you can find justice in America as long as you have enough money, right? Reminder is, we can't always help everyone. We should try, though. But not even caring about the downtrodden is equal to wickedness to God. So God has a special place in his heart for the poor, and we should as well. Similar to the poor, we are obligated to help those who are in danger. Proverbs 24 and verse 11. Proverbs 24 and verse 11. It said, "Save those who are being led to their death. Rescue those who are about to be killed. If you say, 'We don't know anything about this,' God, who knows what's in your mind, will notice. He is watching you, and he will know. He will reward to each person for what he has done." Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be a life and death situation. Most of us will never find ourselves in that sort of situation. But when we see someone in danger, we should try to stop and help them. I remember a few years ago, I was coming home from work, and traffic was really backed up on this one particular two-lane road. As I got closer, I realized that the person in the right-hand lane, the lane I was in, it was a two-lane road, so they were both right-hand lanes, depending on which direction you were traveling. The car was broken down, so people were getting by only when the opposite traffic cleared out enough and people could go around. So I got up there. I got to the point where I could go around. I pulled off and I asked the woman, I said, do you need any help? Is there anything I can do? And she said, well, the car's out of gas. You know, my boyfriend or my husband, I can't remember what the situation was, is on his way. I said, okay. I said, well, I said, do you mind if maybe I just kind of push you off to the side, one, to get you out of the way so nobody runs you, and two, you know, to help traffic flow here. And she said, no, that'd be great. Appreciate it. So I went, pushed her off the side. There was a house there. It had a very nice, wide, double-wide driveway. Pushed her car into the driveway, and just as it rolled in there, fella comes charging out of the house. Whoa, you can't do that. No, not here. No, this is terrible. I can't have this house. I'm getting ready to show this house. I can't have a car sitting in this driveway. You need to get her out of here right now. And I actually did. I pushed the car over to the side, not in the driveway, but kind of off to the edge of the road. So she was out of danger, and people could still get around her. I don't think he ever read this verse, or certainly never understood it. The reminder is very simple. When we see someone in danger, we should try to help them out. These are just the little reminders that the book of Proverbs contains. Of course, danger isn't always immediate that we see other folks in. Sometimes it's something a little longer term. Let's take a look over in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, wine and beer make people loud and uncontrolled. It is not wise to get drunk on them. Well, again, this kind of goes under the duh-huh category. Not very wise to get drunk, is it? Alcohol is a depressant. And that doesn't mean that it makes you depressed. It means it depresses the part of your brain, the neurotransmitters in there that help your brain communicate with different parts of it. Specifically, it affects the part of your brain that helps make decisions. So if the part of your brain that helps make decisions isn't communicating well with the rest of your body, bad things are going to happen. Proverbs 23, just across the page again, chapter 29, we'll read some of the details of what can happen. Proverbs 23 and verse 29. It says, who has trouble? Who has pain? Who fights? Who complains? Who has unnecessary bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? It is people who drink too much wine, who try out all different kinds of strong drinks. Don't stare at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. Later it bites like a snake with poison in its fangs. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind will be confused. You will feel dizzy as if you're in a storm on the ocean, as if you're on top of a ship's sails. You will think, they hit me, but I'm not hurt. They beat me up, but I don't remember it. I wish I could wake up, then I'd go get another drink. Drunkenness leads to no end of problems. Hallucination, sickness, loss of income. Unfortunately, it's something we've witnessed far too many times over the years in church. Christ clearly showed that it's okay to drink alcohol. But we must be careful not to use that as a hall pass to drink to excess. Alcoholism leads to a cycle of pain and addiction. The reminder is this: if you choose to drink, do so in moderation. One potential side effect of drunkenness is laziness. Doesn't necessarily mean being passed out in a gutter until noon. Laziness can be much more subtle. Read about that in Proverbs 20 and verse 4. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. Lazy farmers don't plow when they should. They expect a harvest, but there is none. Now, this verse in and of itself isn't talking about drunkenness, but about the subject of laziness. Laziness doesn't have to come strictly from the use of alcohol. But it can mean not just not doing something, but maybe not doing something on time. Yeah, boss, I got those drawings done. Of course, they were only done an hour before I sent them to the customer, so I didn't have time to check them for all those mistakes that later came back to bite us. Or, yes, teacher, I finished my homework. Of course, I did it on the bus this morning on the way to school, so that's probably why I lost 10 points for sloppiness. We might technically do what it is we're supposed to do, but if we don't do a good job at it, we could still be in for bad results. Ecclesiastes 9:10 certainly comes to mind. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Let's also look at Proverbs 24 and verse 6. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. So you need advice when you go to war. If you have lots of good advice, you will win. What's war got to do with laziness? Well, nothing really. But the idea here is that preparation work can make all the difference. Preparation work can make all the difference. If you've ever painted something, whether it be a car or a wall in your home or maybe a piece of artwork or something, you know that the painting itself usually isn't the hard part, is it? It's all the prep work that goes into it. The reminder is, do your preparation work and don't wait to the last minute to do a job. Of course, preparation work requires quite a bit of planning. Let's look at Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Proverbs 22:3, it says, "The wise see danger ahead and avoid it, but fools keep on going and get in trouble." A few years ago, I decided to take a motorcycle safety course, a rider safety course. And one of the things they tell you is look where it is you want to go, not where it is you're afraid you're going to wind up. And this is very true. I remember one of the first times I went out for a ride on my bike, I was pulling out of an intersection, turning left, and right across, it was a dead end into a street, and right across there was a deep ditch. As I took off, I felt like I was going a little too much straight and not enough left, and I saw that deep ditch and I thought, oh boy. And I remembered, okay, look where I want to go. So I looked where I wanted to go and I rolled left and I missed the ditch by quite a ways, in fact. But the same is true on life. If we were to concentrate on a negative or not concentrate on what it is that we need to do, not plan ahead, we're most likely in for a bad result. Reminder is this. Watch where it is you're going and plan ahead. Let's move on to relationships that are a little more personal, a little more intimate, not just random encounters, but with those that we know, folks that we might know a little bit better. Just entitled this section, Personal Relationships. We'll start in Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19. It says, "If you talk a lot, you are sure to sin. If you are wise, you will keep quiet." Now, at first, I kind of had this in the general relationships category, but I thought about it, and I thought, you know, oftentimes, we offend people we don't know by what it is we do, maybe the way we drive in traffic. But it's probably the people that we know and we talk to that we wind up offending more by what it is we say. This reminds us that if we talk long enough and not wisely in the words that we use, we will eventually get our foot in our mouths. Doesn't mean don't talk to people, certainly not. But sometimes it's best to say what it is you need to say and go on. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Reminder is sometimes we just need to say what it is we need to say and be done with it. Similar to a thought found in Proverbs 11. Verse 12. Proverbs 11 and verse 12. It says, "People without good sense find fault with their neighbors, but those with understanding keep quiet." One of the mutual interests that Mr. Wazelkoff and I share is the Muppet Show. And a few years ago, he was reminding me of a particular episode where the two old guys that sit up in the balcony, Statler and Waldorf, were their names. they were just a skit on, and skit was over, and they say, "Oh, that was pretty good. Yeah, well, that wasn't too bad. Well, yeah, it could have been a little better. Well, timing wasn't right. That wasn't funny at all. That was terrible." If we keep looking for trouble, we'll find it. But what sort of fruit does that bear? Skipping on down to verse 27 of chapter 11, it says, "Whoever looks for good will find kindness, but whoever looks for evil will find trouble." Philippians 4:8 certainly comes to mind there. Whatever things are good and honorable, to concentrate on those things. So the reminder is this: look for good, because when we look for evil or we look for fault, we will certainly find it, and with it we'll often find trouble. Of course, there is a flip side to that particular coin. Back over in Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, we'll read verses 24 through 26. It says, "Don't tell the wicked that they are innocent. People will curse you and nations will hate you. But things will go well if you punish the guilty, and you will receive rich blessings. An honest answer is pleasing as a kiss on the lips." Now, this is not contradicting what it is we just read in Proverbs 11:12 and 10:19. This is saying that we shouldn't give people false platitudes. That if someone has done something, that's clearly wrong. We are doing them a great disservice if we remain silent on the matter. Proverbs 27, verse 5 emphasizes this. It said, "It is better to correct someone openly than to have love and not show it." Just the next chapter over, Proverbs 28:23 says, "Those who correct others will later be liked more than those who give false praise." If we are gentle in our correction, in the long run, folks will be grateful for that. Reminder is this: don't sit by idly and let others sin to their own destruction. This is appropriate really for all ages, but I think it especially applies to our youth. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. It says, "Spend time with the wise, and you will become wise, but the friends of the fool will suffer." 22, verse 24 through 25, shares a similar thought. "Don't make friends with quick-tempered people, or spend time with those who have bad tempers. If you do, you will be like them. Then you will be in real danger." So if you see someone who's got a pattern of behavior that is destructive, you should say something. And if you can't, if that effort is not fruitful, then oftentimes it's best just to remove yourself from the situation. I remember when I was in middle school, there was another high school up the road from where I went, where there were a couple kids who had just after school, they had taken off, and somehow word got back to the one kid who owned the car that somebody else back at the high school wanted to fight him, and there was some sort of controversy brewing. So he turned the car around with his friends in the back seat, and he sped on back to the school. He's doing 120 miles an hour. Problem came when he met another car, two kids who were leaving school, that was doing around 40 miles an hour. It's a 160 mile an hour head-on collision. It was so hard, the kid in the back seat came clear out of his shoes. He was driving in I think it was a 68 Chevelle. No airbags. You know, no, probably not even seatbelts. So that day, five kids died. Now, the two coming away from the school, unfortunately, were just innocent bystanders. There are two more in the back seat of that first car, though, that were hanging around with someone who had a quick temper. We don't always have to be the one doing something wrong to suffer the consequences. The reminder is this: be careful who you hang around with. Finally, for our personal relationships, let's focus a little bit on family. Proverbs 23 and verse 13. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Don't fail to punish children. If you spank them, they won't die. I think we can probably all attest to this. I know my kids can. I know I can. Similar sentiments found over in chapter 13, verse 24. Chapter 13 and verse 24. Says, if you do not punish your children, you don't love them. But if you love your children, you will correct them. So parents, this is a reminder for you. It is our job to teach and correct our children. That is how we show love. The payoff then is this. Proverbs 23 and verse 15. Proverbs 23 and verse 15. It says, my child, if you are wise, then I will be happy. I will be so pleased if you speak what is right. Kids, this is what makes parents happy. To see you make good decisions and do the right thing. Of course, I would be remiss if we didn't spend just a little bit of time in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is often known as the virtuous woman chapter, the chapter that describes specifically what a Christian woman aspires to be. Let's read verse 10 and 11 here. It is hard to find a good wife because she is worth more than rubies. Her husband trusts her completely. With her, he has everything he needs. This is very simple, guys. Trust your wife. She is a blessing from God. That brings us to our last section, and that is our relationship with God. This is a relationship that really should obviously be of utmost importance in our life. Unfortunately, it's one that can always come second and third in our lives when we're not careful. But we're reminded that if we take care of this relationship first, the others will begin to fall in line. Let's turn to Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Proverbs 19, verse 21. It says, people can make all kinds of plan, but only the Lord's plan will happen. The best laid plans of mice and men, so to speak. As we know, they often go awry. It's another very similar verse, just over one page in my Bible, chapter 21, verse 31. And I like this because it has a certain sort of a cowboy logic to it. It says, you can get the horses ready for battle, but it is the Lord who gives victory. We might make plans, but let's not forget who's in charge. James 4 reminds us. It tells the story about let us make plans to go to a certain city to buy and sell and make a great profit. But it says, remember, what you should have rather said was, if it's God's will, this is what we'll do. Proverbs 20, verse 24, just up a little bit. It says, the Lord decides what a person will do. No one understands what his life is all about. Now, of course, we all know we have purpose. And we are blessed above much of the rest of the world that we know what that purpose is. But we don't know all the details of what it is that God has in store for us all personally, do we? On an individual basis. Proverbs 16:33, I think, maybe sums it up best. Proverbs 16:33 says, people throw lots to make a decision, but the answer comes from the Lord. The reminder is this. We might make decisions, but God is the one who is in charge, and it's God who has all the answers. Inevitably, you and I will mess up. This leads us to our next reminder. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. If you hide your sins, you will not succeed. If you confess and reject them, you will receive mercy. You're going to mess up. We all do. Try and hide your mistakes, and surely they will find you out. This can apply not only to sin, but honest mistakes as well. So the reminder is this. If you mess up, fess up. If you mess up, fess up. So what do we do then when we do mess up? Well, of course, we know we are to confess our sins. But let's look at Proverbs 21, verse 3. And see what it is that God is really looking for. Proverbs 21, verse 3. Doing what is right and fair is more important to the Lord than sacrifices. Christ reiterated this in Matthew 12, verse 7, after the disciples had picked some grain on the Sabbath day. He said this, and this is actually reading from the New American Standard Version. It said, "But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent." God doesn't want us just to do the right thing. Of course, He wants us to do the right thing. But He's not just looking for a rigid obedience like from a robot or from an automaton. The reminder then is, while we should obey the letter of the law, we must never lose the intent or the why of what His laws and what they mean for us. Of course, we have to have a clear understanding of the law. We must have a clear understanding of the law, and we'll turn to Proverbs 29 here. This is a verse that, for those of you here in Cincinnati who had Al Dennis as your pastor, had this verse drummed in your head on almost a weekly basis, probably. Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, "Where there is no word from God, people are uncontrolled. But those who obey what they have been taught are happy." That's a very, very fundamental thing, isn't it? Where there is no light, there will be darkness. But where there is light, folks will be happy. The reminder is this. We must have God's Word at the forefront of our lives. Look at one last proverb. In Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 5. Einstein allegedly said, "I want to know God's thoughts because everything else are just details." With that in mind, Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Cry out for wisdom and beg for understanding. Search for it like silver and hunt for it like hidden treasure." I heard a similar message earlier when Mr. Walsikoff brought up the scripture about the woman who was looking for the coin that she had lost. We must search for it. We must try to put this into our lives first and foremost. Verse 5, "Then you will understand respect for the Lord, and you will find that you know God." Reminder. Get real biblical wisdom, then you will know God. I mentioned at the beginning that we'd circle back to one of the fundamental reasons that we have reminders. Of course, we talked about one is that reminders exist to teach others. And reminders there to help us simply remember what it is we should be doing. But reminders are there to encourage us as well. And that's where we'll conclude today. The Apostle Paul found himself doing this in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He had warned those in Thessalonica that false prophets would come. Here's what he had to say then. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 5. He said, "I told you when I was with you that all this would happen. Do you not remember?" He said, "Hey, don't forget now. I told you this was going to happen." Not only did he do that, but he warned them of the consequences of what would happen if they didn't remember. Verse 9. Says, "The man of evil will come by the power of Satan. He will have great power, and he will do many different false miracles, signs, and wonders. He will use every kind of evil to trick those who are lost. They will die because they refuse to love the truth." They didn't take time to remind themselves of God's truths. If they had loved the truth, they would have been saved. Verse 11. For this reason, God sent them something powerful that leads them away from the truth, so they will believe a lie. There are dire consequences if we do not remind ourselves of God's law on a regular basis. We know, of course, we're to be like the Bereans and study, keep our nose in this book. Here's where the encouragement comes in. Verse 14. Says, God used the good news that we preach to call you to be saved so you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the good news. There is good news to be had. There is salvation and glory in Christ. Verse 15. Brothers and sisters, stand strong and continue to believe the teachings we gave you in our speaking and in our letter. How can we continue to believe if we don't continue to remind ourselves of these truths? Verse 16-17. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father encourage you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. God loved us, and through His grace He gave us a good hope and encouragement that continues forever. Let us press forward then, encouraged through the grace and good hope that does indeed endure forever. Reminding ourselves daily of these wise truths, the truths that God gives us to handle whatever situation we might find ourselves in.